You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Could you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
And I want to take a moment and just say thank you. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to you and we're grateful for you.
For making this wonderful live event with Dwayne Brayboy, who sits on our board at Wells of Victory and Indigenous Inspiration, possible. We are very excited to have such a wonderful guest with us. And we are truly, truly thankful for all of you who've joined us today. Dwayne Brayboy is a noted Tuscarora language teacher, elder, and the light behind the Tuscarora Historical Society. So we welcome Dwayne Brayboy to present this wonderful live lecture to all of us today.
Watganeherates, and that means greetings, friends and relatives. My name is Dwayne Brayboy. Thank you, Dawn, for introducing me. I am Bear Clan. I am Tuscarora, from the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina, and I'm enrolled at Prospect Longhouse. And Dwayne Brayboy Giafe, which at Runaguache Oxenahiawawe, Disne Ujife, Disa Sit, Skarure Divogafnutne. And this in our language is the same introduction. My name is Dwayne Brayboy. But my Tuscarora name is Runaguache, and I'm Bear Clan of the Tuscarora Nation. So it's an honor to join you for this month's broadcast on Dr. Dawn Karima's program. I want to thank first Wells of Victory, Talktainment Radio, and Dr. Dawn Karima herself for supporting this platform that amplifies Indigenous voices and knowledge. Today, I'll be walking you through a journey that's been both personal and historical, the story of the Tuscarora Nation's survival through centuries of attempted erasure, the treaties that still bind our claims to this land, and our continued fight to preserve our culture, language, and rightful identity. Let's begin with language. In Tuscarora, the word gitgenidia, it means I am trying. And in many ways, those of us working to save the Tuscarora language are still trying. Trying to pull our words back from the edge of the abyss. Our language is one of the clearest expressions of who we are as a people. As I've said before, the sound is fading, but it hasn't disappeared. We are one of the original Iroquoian languages, kin to Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, and Seneca. And when we speak Tuscarora, we summon a world that has always been here, deep in the swamps and the sand hills and the shores of North Carolina, or at least the land that is now commonly known as North Carolina, that we Tuscarora call Uhawiyukye, meaning the vast swampland. And that's what we called this land before colonization. And yes, there are fewer than a handful of speakers today, but we're not waiting for someone else to come save our language. We are teaching it, we are speaking it, we're recording it, we're including it in all spaces. Not just for posterity, but because it's how we remember our ancestors and how our descendants will remember us. What were our values? You know, this is something that oftentimes people far removed from their ancestors will wonder. What were their values? Well, we want our values to be that of survival and reclamation, and not just survival, but thriving. That's our intention. As the officiant of the Tuscora naming ceremony through my longhouse, I can tell you this. Calling ourselves by our Tuscora names is a powerful act of decolonization. When we speak our names aloud, we proclaim that we are still here. Our ancestors knew us before we were born. And when we claim our true names, we are affirming our place in the lineage. It's often been said by natives of all nations that our souls don't speak English. So, towards surviving the extinction, the Native American Holocaust. Much has been said about Native disappearance, but we haven't disappeared. We've adapted. After the Tuscarora Wars of 1711 to 1715, and there were two, that's why I specify the plural. There were two campaigns against the Tuscaroras. Many of our people were either massacred, enslaved, or forced removals, but others stayed behind, particularly in Bertie County at the reservation, Indian Woods Tuscarora Reservation, and eventually in Robeson County, where we, the political body of the Tuscaroras who remained with our chiefs from Indian Woods Reservation, had migrated to present-day Robeson County, North Carolina. And since then, you know, we spread out and from that area to the surrounding counties. Of course, that's actually where we all migrated to from the beginning when we migrated there, because it was the settlers who had established these counties around that area and changed the name from Bladen Precinct to Bladen County to eventually Robeson County. So we migrated to our new home. And when Chief Tom Blunt, who was the chief of the northern villages, there were two factions of Tuscaroras at that time. There were the northern villages and southern villages, and the chief of the northern villages was Chief Tom Blunt. The chief of the southern villages was Chief Hancock. And so when Chief Tom Blunt negotiated the Indian Woods Reservation Treaty, he ensured that part of our nation remained rooted in North Carolina. But history books don't mention this. This is part of North Carolina history that has been erased. I do not know of any North Carolina history books, or at least academic history books. I don't believe they teach about this in public schools here. But we have remained, and this is true nonetheless. So while some Tuscarora moved north and arrived there in 1715, and eventually were admitted as the sixth nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy in 1722, hundreds of Tuscarora families remained in the homelands here in North Carolina. In 1973, Chief Howard Brooks led a delegation of Tuscaroras to Raleigh from Robeson County. And to those who might be in other parts of the world, Raleigh is the capital city of the state. So our Chief Howard Brooks had led this march to Raleigh to protest our broken treaties and to show support for the Wounded Knee occupation that was happening at the time. Our Lakota relations who were living through the Wounded Knee situation at that time. Along the path to Raleigh, the entire delegation was arrested for marching through the town of Smithfield, the same Smithfield where our Chief Samuel Smith once lived. This was his home. And he was born in 1709, and he made the journey to Sky World in 1803. And after the 1766 split and migrations there from the reservation of Indian Woods, Chief Samuel Smith and his father, Chief John Smith, they migrated to Smithfield, which was their home. And so this place that even bears the Smith name, Smithfield, Tuscaroras, his descendants, those chief's descendants, Chief John Smith and Chief Samuel Smith, their descendants were arrested there in 1973 for walking through the town on their way to Raleigh. Among those arrested was Bear Clan mother Faye Locklear of Prospect Longhouse. And she is a direct descendant of Chief Samuel Smith. So that's some history that doesn't get put in the academic scholastic history books here in North Carolina. But that's why people like me speak up. And despite the arrests, we are still here. From the Lowry Wars, through the civil rights era and the Red Power days of the 1960s, 1970s, and up to now, our people here have endured. We've been mislabeled. We've been misclassified, denied, but we've never disappeared. So many people ask, do you Tuscaroras have treaties? And the answer is yes. Now, to people who might not know, being in treaties with the U.S. is the basis for federal acknowledgement. And so the answer is yes. we are in treaties with the U.S. government. Treaties are not mere historical artifacts. They are binding legal documents that form the foundation of our continued existence as a nation. There is an old maxim, treaties are the supreme law of the land. And that sound hasn't faded. That is still true. We must acknowledge the treaties. So we were recognized as a sovereign entity by Great Britain. Our treaties, both before and after the Tuscarora Wars, laid out our lands, named our leaders, named our rights. And after the war, we negotiated terms of peace, land protection, and self-governance. As colonization intensified, though, the legal mechanisms of our dispossession followed. Tax laws, forced leases, fraudulent deeds. Still, we have documentary proof, deeds, petitions, census records, land claims, treaties that confirm the continuity of our nation. The U.S. Census from 1790 onward shows our families. We are listed there on those North Carolina censuses. And in 1900 and 1910, there were special Indian schedules listed for our people. And those special Indian census schedules listed our Tuscarora people here by name. And by 1980, Tuscarora people in North Carolina were counted in numbers comparable to those in New York. We were and are still here. And so we are an Iroquoian speaking people, and we have a living language. We have a unique history and centuries of treaty-backed presence in this land, now known as North Carolina. Despite attempts to erase us, we continue to preserve who we are. Recently, we established the SUN Historical and Preservation Society. Now, SUN is an acronym that stands for Skarure Urihwagaye Nyagwarihuadure, and that means the same in our language. The Tuscarora Historical Society. So SUN's purpose is to preserve our language, our historical documents, and our way of life. Over the years, I've held language classes in cookhouses between Maxton Longhouse and Prospect Longhouse, where I'm enrolled, in conference rooms, on Zoom, in people's homes. But our goal now is to form a permanent complex. Classrooms, a library, a museum, offices. You know, we are digitizing historical documents, our treaties, building language resources, training new generations of speakers and language stewards. This is more than preservation. It's restoration. So, towards that end, one of the things that I will be preserving through the Tuscarora Historical and Preservation Society will be some of our old stories. Well, all of our old stories, all that I can gather. Now, I never imagined I would become a storyteller. It just never seemed to be something that struck me as something I would do. It's an honorable pursuit, and I've always appreciated the storytellers, those who have kept our stories over generations. I just never thought it was going to be something I would do. But after years of gathering old Tuscarora stories, I now believe they found their way to me. Maybe the ancestors guided those who shared them with me. Today, I am working on animated videos to preserve and pass down our stories, but I'm also writing down the stories on paper. I'm preserving them every way possible, digitally, analog, however it can be preserved. That's what I'm interested in, and that's what I hope that all people will do. Whether they are Tuscarora or Haudenosaunee, whether they're from another Native American nation or a Celtic people, an African tribe, you know, Asian people, Polynesian people, the stories are so important. They pass down our, as much as our language, they pass down our worldview, our values, our morals, our social norms, our customs. It's all intimately woven into the stories. And so these animated stories that I am working on, animation, video animation, is something new to me. So I'm learning. I'm happy with the results so far. I'm close to releasing my first traditional story. And we've got so many different stories to share. But this will be the first. This will be the first. And this is going to be our gift to the seventh generation. Storytelling, it's an obligation of the Historical and Preservation Society, SUN. So when we recite our Thanksgiving address, we call this the Ha'ganahara Tetra. We give thanks not only for simple things in life, but sacred things in life. That's the whole purpose of our Thanksgiving address. The words before all else. And the purpose of this is to give thanks to Creator for all of the sacred things that we enjoy in life, that so often humans take for granted, but we would be pitiful without them in our lives. For example, water. We give thanks to Creator for all the waters of the world. They preserve life. They have their own ecosystems. The waters of the world nourish human bodies, animal bodies. Obviously, we need water for survival. And in the modern age, we so often take these things for granted. You want something to drink, you want some water, you just go to the sink and turn the tap on. Or people like me who just don't trust that tap water, go to the water purification filter and pour a glass of water from that. But it's so easy to take this for granted. You want water, you just go to the water and drink. But what happens when the water gets turned off? What happens when there is a storm or some inclement weather that, you know, shuts down the water? And suddenly you don't have any. The first time you need a drink of water or water to wash your body, wash something, dishes, you know, the first time you need it, you realize that just simply nothing else will do. It has to be water. And that's when you realize how desperately you really need water. So we should not take those things for granted. We should give thanks. It's our belief, at least the way I was raised, that if we don't appreciate what we have, it'll be taken away from us. So if I took the waters for granted, well, maybe Creator will take the water away. So another aspect of our Hak and our Tetra is that when we give thanks in this way, we give thanks for the people of the world, all the people, all the different kinds of people. And we give thanks not only for the Tuscarora people, and not only for the Haudenosaunee people, or by extension, all of the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, and even further, all the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere throughout the Americas. We give thanks for all the different people of the world. All blood is sacred. Our human family is interdependent upon each other for survival, not independent. And in this new dark age, it is more vital than ever that we remember our humanity and our responsibilities and obligations to one another as part of our human family. So then, maybe you're wondering what you can do to support Native Nations. Well, you can start by acknowledging the land that you're on. Learn the native place names in your area. You know, educate yourself about the treaties that apply to your region that the Native Nations were in, because I feel confident telling you that there are treaties that apply to the land that you presently stay on. You can visit the websites of your local Native Nations. For example, our website is www.TuscaroraNationNC.com, and that's where you will find my people and me. So that is what a few things you can do to support Native Nations. And something that I've spoken about before on Dr. Dawn Karima's program here, Conversations with Dr. Dawn Karima, and that is the place names. The place names in your area. For example, there is a Cleveland, a town called Cleveland here in North Carolina. There's also a Cleveland, Ohio. We all know that one. And, you know, looking at this situation, it makes Native American place names make so much more sense than a lot of the European place names that our areas got renamed. Let's take Cleveland, for example. You know, Cleveland, you know, from the cliffs of the cliffs, you know, where the land is cleaved, you know, that's the origin of that name. Well, in Cleveland, North Carolina, there are no cliffs. I've been there. It's pretty flat. So native place names do make sense. Learn the native place names from your area and see if they make sense to you.
We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback. Providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Meet America's adults over 65. 70% of them have high blood pressure, and nearly 50% of those don't have it under control. Even with Medicare Part D coverage, about 5 million adults aren't taking their blood pressure medicines as directed. So why does that matter? Because high blood pressure is one of the leading causes of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and death in the United States. Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And 1 in 4 adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
For example, a Tuscarora place name is that we had a village called Afnoxan, and that means Badlands in our language. And, well, where was this village at that was called Badlands? It was in the area of North Carolina that is known as the Sand Hills. And as you might imagine, with a name called Sand Hills, it's very sandy. You can't grow much there. It's difficult to grow corn in sand, you know? So, you know, we called it Afnoxan. And now that is near the present-day town of Averysboro. And, you know, Averysboro, I believe that's a Scottish name in origin. So that is an example of how place names make more sense in Native American languages, because they were named by people who stayed on that land for thousands of years. And like us Tuscarora, who have been here on this land, we call Uhnawiyukya, for upwards of 3,000 years, we know the land very well. That is something that we know. We know the land, and we know how to farm the land. We know how to use the land. We know how to care for the land. And that's also something that is worth mentioning, is that when the Europeans, the English, first came here, you know, they could not survive, because growing crops here in this climate on this land is different from where they came from, the Europeans. And so we had to teach them how to farm the land here to survive. So, yes, that is a bit about the naming. And so I'd also like to share with you about cultural instruction. What we teach our children. So let me share a few things from our Tuscarora Guide for Educators, something that I authored to provide for educators in the state of North Carolina, to particularly in our home area of Robeson County and surrounding counties, so that educators would better understand the culture that Native American Tuscarora children come from and better understand the children. So something I wrote to help schools better understand our culture and children is that we are not a romantic myth of the past. We are not the Hollywood Indian. We are a sovereign people who have stayed on this land that's now called North Carolina for upwards of 3,000 years. We follow the great law of peace. We call that Guyana Restiu, and it's a democratic code of ethics older than the U.S. Constitution. We have different clans. We have bear clan, turtle, knight, eel, hawk, wolf, deer, and our clan mothers are the lifeblood of our governance. We teach the good mind to consider how our decisions affect not just today, but seven generations into the future. That's why it's so important when we speak of the seventh generation that it's not ever understood to be just a flowery, pretty expression to use, but it's only endowed with meaning through action. And so we have to consider the seventh generation, our descendants who we'll never know, but we have to know and understand the decisions that we make today, how that will affect them. And so we teach through our stories, land-based learning, hands-on practice. This is our way. This is the Tuscarora way. And that's something worth speaking of as well, is teaching through stories. We teach our values, as I said earlier, through our stories, our morals. And this is how we teach our children these things. We don't ever use violence against our children. I know there's other cultural terms like spare the rod and spoil the child or some such, but we don't enact violence, inflict violence on our children. So we teach them our values, right and wrong, through our stories. That's why all of our stories have a moral to them. You know, maybe this story about how Bear lost his tail is about how not to be or why you shouldn't be boastful or overly proud, you know, the wrong kind of pride, you know, that sort of a thing. This is how we teach our children. And so we're not the vanishing Indian. We are the enduring ones. Our language, though bruised, still breathes. We are generating more language speakers all the time. Our people, though scattered north and south, are still singing the old songs, still telling the old stories. And as long as there are those willing to remember, to speak, to teach, the sound will never fade completely. And so what keeps me motivated is the support of the people, the memory of my family who have made the journey to Skyworld, those who weren't allowed to speak our language or receive an education, and for the hope of the seventh generation. That is why I do the work that I do for all of those people, those living, those and the seventh generation who I will never meet, and for those before me. And so then, towards that end, about storytelling, I will tell a quick story about the Red Corn Prophecy. This is the Tuscarora Red Corn Prophecy. This will be one of our animated stories that I will be working on soon. And it goes like this. In the days of long ago, the Tuscaroras roamed freely on the land called North Carolina. They fished in the sparkling waters, and in the woodlands rich with game, they hunted. One day, the Great Spirit called to them and said, "My children, take this gift. In love I do bestow it, and in love shall you receive it. It will feed you and sustain you. It will prosper you and keep you. Through this gift of corn I bring, all your children will be blessed. Only live in peace and friendship. Live in friendship with each other." The Tuscaroras were pleased with the Great Spirit's gift. It was pleasant to the taste and beautiful to look at. It grew plentiful in tall, slender stalks. It had silken tassels, and its color, like the color of the Tuscaroras, was red. For a long time, the Tuscaroras were happy with the Great Spirit's gift, and just as the Great Spirit had promised, it fed the people and sustained them. But they grew restless and began to quarrel with each other. They quarreled among themselves, and they fought with their brothers. They fought with their neighbors. They no longer were the Tuscaroras content. They had forgotten the Great Spirit's words, "Live peacefully together." Their quarrels were so loud that the noise reached the sky, and the Great Spirit's ears rang out with the sound of it. He summoned the Tuscaroras and spoke to them words of kindness. "My children, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what I told you? Have you tired of my gift? Tell me, how has my gift failed you? Why do you quarrel? Why do you fight? Heed my counsel, my dear children. Rid yourselves of endless discord. Make an end to bitter fights. Live and love each other and in peace." The Tuscaroras heard the Great Spirit's plea, but they did not obey. They fought and quarreled until the noise reached Skyworld. Again, the Great Spirit Creator called his children, and with a sorrowful voice, he spoke. "I have heard your dreadful quarrels, and I weary of your wars. Will you let the jaws of evil open wide and swallow you? Cruel times will be upon you. All your days will be as nights. Heed my warning. Hear my words, lest eternal night befall you. Learn contentment. Study peace." Still the Tuscaroras would not listen, and they quarreled even more. When the Great Spirit saw that the Tuscarora would not listen, he turned sorrowfully away. The The evil ways of his children saddened him, and in his silence continued for many moons. The stars looked down upon the quarreling Tuscaroras and wept. The moon turned pale, and the clouds drifted mournfully away. At last the Great Spirit could bear it no longer. He summoned his children once again. He spoke softly in sorrow. He spoke of the future of the days to come. From a far-off place will come strangers, pale of face and fair. Their canoes are many-numbered. Tall and stately on the waters, you will see them glide like birds. When at first you shall behold them, they will bring you many gifts, gifts of wonder that will please you, will delight you and deceive you, for their gifts foreshadow doom. They will take away your lands. They will take away your rivers and your streams. They'll take away your hunting grounds and forests. Take your summer and spring, leave you winter, leave you grief, leave misfortune, and bring woe. As the Tuscaroras listened, they became downcast. The Great Spirit told them that the coming of the pale-faced strangers would be marked by an unmistakable sign, for at that time the gift of red corn which he had given them would turn white. When the corn became white, the strangers from beyond the waters would inhabit the land for 10,000 years. When the Tuscaroras heard this, they wept so hard that their tears watered the earth. But the Great Spirit comforted his people. He told them that they would live through many sorrows and hardships, but a day would come when the pale strangers would depart. The red man would return, and he would come back to regain his lands. And he would return in peace. How shall we know when that time is near? Asked the Tuscaroras. The Great Spirit answered, there will be a sign from Skyworld to foretell that far-off time. There will be a time of waters, there will be a time of rains, and the gift of corn I gave you shall be seen as it once was. White no more will be the color. It will turn again red, like the children of my people. Burnished, handsome, bright was the color. When the corn is red, my people, you will come in joy and gladness. You will come with songs and laughter. You will come again in peace. And so this is the story of the red corn prophecy among my people. And so with that, I would like to thank Wells of Victory. I would like to thank Talktainment Radio, and to Dr. Don Karima for amplifying our voices. Yeah. Gegwanu ritva. Isne gegwanu rikwa. Twen akweru. I appreciate you all, and I love you all. And this has been Dwayne Brayboy, Bear Clan Prospect Longhouse. A scan it. Peace.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. This round of applause is well deserved. Oh, we have all enjoyed learning, growing, discovering, and exploring with this really tremendous leader, elder, teacher, and truly great, great Tuscarora. Thank you so much to Dwayne Brayboy for this beautiful live event, for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us. Thank you to all of our sponsors, our donors, our audience here today, to all the platforms who will make this go around the world. And thank you to all of you, our friends, who listen, who pray, who share, who amplify this wonderful podcast. It's a great blessing to us and a great blessing to many others. Wow, what a tremendous live event. We have really enjoyed this lecture, and it has been truly enlightening. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together again. Thank you again to Dwayne Brayboy, and many blessings to all of you.
Edimahe. Yahegeda, Jayajadosh. The desire of nations.
What matters most is the weight of the heart, the measure of fire, when Creator smiles. First and last, how we are made. What matters most is the cry of the heart, the coming of children, the baking of bread, day in, day out, our lives are made. Can't you hear me singing? Desire of nations sounds like a power drum. Glimpses of Eden that make us miss heaven, and how we finally come home again. Can't you hear me singing? Desire of nations sounds like power drum. First and last, how we are made. Can't you hear me singing? Desire of nations sounds like a power drum. Desire of nations sounds like stomp and shake.
Mado, everybody. Mado.
Yeah. Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the world forgave
you. You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com.